Shalom, it looks like it's going to be a small group, and hopefully you will have a wonderful lecture. So let's first start by closing our eyes and centering our energies, and let us feel God's energy among us. Thanks God for the Feast of Tabernacles, His presence and His teachings. So, Shalom. This lecture will be about inner science, and in the outline that was prepared before the feast, there were 5 points: introduction to yoga postures, asanas, and the effects of these postures on human physiology, and a little bit of comparison between inner sizing and exercising. Some suggestions from the book that Mission recommends from the Ananda Marga, the manual for teachers, and then the reminder, and then the conclusion. But I researched this topic, and as I work as an instructor, as a yoga instructor, I realized that there is also a lot of confusion in this topic, in yoga as well, in the world, just like everything else. So contemplating on this and meditating on this a little bit, I wanted to first maybe go over the teachings, like the little bit of creation and history first, and bring it to our days so that maybe we can see all together even how God revealed the mystery in on inner size, or how He revealed it to Maitreya, that exercise and inner size are different, and how they should be practiced and clarify and making it crystal clear how to reach pure consciousness by following the eternal divine path. So, all thanks to God, the teachings reveal to us that there is a purpose to this life, and in the beginning everything was in a state of beingness, everything was in a balance, and with the desire of God, the balance was disturbed, and a part of God was fall into darkness, went to chaos. Then God sent a part of His spirit into this darkness, and His spirit went through the eternal divine path, realized the eternal divine path in the darkness, and the eternal divine path was formed, the way to salvation was found. And the path from darkness to light was formed, but He also realized it is difficult to help the other unit consciousnesses in this and that state. So He decided to create the manifested world in a sustaining, self-sustaining way, and the universe was created. And with many evolutionary steps, all thanks to God, it came to a point that beings that can understand the goal of the life was achieved. And as Maitreya again revealed 12,000 years ago, there was a higher civilization on Earth, and the path, maybe all the knowledge was given to them, again, how the goal of the life, how to return back to God. But they weren't successful, they fall to darkness again, and this knowledge was taken away from them. And Noah and the ones that listened to him and God were chosen, and the new generation was started. So, and God, as we know, had a plan, and He gave the whole path in one by one in steps, and Noah, with Noah, was the mystical paths was started. And as we know, the knowledge of the mystical paths, how to awaken the spiritual forces, was given by Noah to, in symbolic languages, to this new generation. And then God made this generation spread all over the world. And again, in the teachings, it mentions, and Maitreya said this many times, that probably the Aryan race went to the Himalayas or to Asia, probably to and initiate the God's plan for the East. And this knowledge, the mystical knowledge through Noah, accumulated there and mostly in India, and spread all over the world from there later on. But what we know as yoga spread to the world from this part of the world as well. And in researching this, yoga, the first known written things about yoga goes back to about 2,500 years, and the writer is Patanjali. And in his writings, or in similar writings later on, that we find that yoga is not just, yoga is introduced as a part of the philosophy, or almost a discipline, a religious discipline, to realize the essence within, in these mystical paths, in these mystical religions like Hinduism and Buddhism and everything else that come from the East later on. And yoga and these postures took different forms in different cultures later on, and probably some even went to with different schools becoming martial arts and all those things that come from the East to the world. And then later on, of course, in the second half of the 1900s, this knowledge, through many teachers, came to the West as it was prophesied, the knowledge that will come to the West, and many elects will be introduced to this knowledge. And in the West, this the yoga and related practices were grabbed or liked with enthusiasm. And at the same time, they changed the form a little bit. As the West is known, using the intellect, and the known practices were more systemized, and the West mostly took the physical aspects of the practices rather than how it became in East as a philosophy or a religious discipline mostly. And today, there are many different practices of yoga, many types, from face yoga to yoga that people do in warm, hot rooms, and all different kinds of other practices. But the mission, I think, brings a little bit more than this, and with following the eternal divine path, and with the everything that is revealed in Doh, the 15 commandments and everything else, by following these, yoga is now given to humanity as another tool that in the start of the spiritual journey that one can use along with following the eternal divine path and reaching pure consciousness, following the goal of the life. And God, all thanks to God, Baba, was through Baba or with Ananda Marga, God probably purified these practices to a point also, because different than many other things that are given in the world today, the way Baba or the Ananda Marga presented yoga to the world is a lot spiritual and more balanced than many other things. And now with the mission and with understanding all these, hopefully we will even use yoga and many other things even more purely and to the point. So with all this said, in the Ananda Marga manual, the Baba or the Acharyas that prepared the book recommended 40 basic asanas, and from all the thousand of asanas, they choose like the 40 basic asanas that are even more safe to do, and that helps the person to realize the oneness of the body even better. And in the videos that was prepared for the mission, we used 7 or 8 of them that are recommended for men and women to practice daily or even twice a day in the start of their spiritual journey. And of course, the mission teaches us that everything can be of three kinds. So I think it's a good spot here to make it clear that everything can be of three kinds, from sattva, from raja, or from tama, from knowledge, passion, or ignorance. And Maitreya, in many of his lectures, also told us that even practicing yoga should be from knowledge, done with the right ideation, and people should not become obsessed with practicing yoga, and it should be done from knowledge and for a purpose, to understand the inner workings of the body. So practicing yoga from knowledge probably requires the person to know what's the purpose of yoga. Yoga as an exercise is different than exercise, because exercises mostly work with the glands than the muscles. And as it's defined, yoga asanas, asana means pose comfortably held, posture comfortably held, meaning that when the person holds a posture, the purpose is to center the self, to realize the chatter of the mind, and gradually let it go and become one in the posture, so that the person realizes the inner working of the body and learn how to relax the mind and overcome the chatter. So this practice is almost like the extension of meditation. It's almost like an active meditation. So that goes hand in hand with meditation, yoga, and meditation almost like complements them itself. Because first a person can learn by meditating how to calm the body, just like the mission sadhana and asana, exactly. And in sadhana, in meditation, you learn how to be first, and then in asana you take that into action. And you try to keep that, you stay in sadhana, in asana. And in fact, when I was first practicing yoga, when I was first introduced to yoga, the first thing that the teacher gave to the class was, the first posture was corpse pose. I entered the class, everyone was lying on their backs on the floor, and it was my first class. I didn't know what to do. I came into a wrong class, but he guided me to lay down also, and he was telling the class that this is the hardest or most difficult pose in yoga. And I remember I was laughing to myself that how could this be the hardest, because we are just laying down. But it turns out it was really the most difficult one, because your body wants to move. You want to bring your hand to your ear or do this, do that, or then even if you keep your body still, then your mind goes from one place to another. So then it was a great realization, probably, to understand that keeping the body still is a work by itself. So as the person grows in understanding the meditation, the yoga becomes an extension of it, and this is the aim in the postures, and then the relaxing the body, and this way realizing how the chakras accelerate, and with the endocrine system that controls the glands, how the moods of the body can change, and through that a person can realize the self, realize the propensities of the chakras, and maybe by understanding the traps, or maybe even first falling into the traps and overcoming them by learning the lessons, the spiritual journey to higher self can be accelerated. So yoga, in fact, is a great tool in this endeavor, if it's done with this ideation. And at the same time, by working with the hormones, the body is balanced, and also it is great in helping working the inner muscles, the joints, and circulation, the blood, and massaging the inner organs by using the right diaphragmic breathing. So it is a great tool, and as the mission says, it should be done from knowledge with this right ideation. So probably now we can go to the question that how could this be done? As the mission teaches us, and as in almost every yoga practice, the mind is like a small child that is kind of hard to control sometimes, and it needs a toy that can focus on, and the breath is that toy that we can give to the mind to focus. Just like in meditation, as you focus on the breath and the silence between breathing in and breathing out, and realizing that silence and expanding yourself, the mind, in that silence, the person, in fact, tries to be in that same state also in the yoga postures and let the body relax and go deeper into the, by going deeper into the postures, even relax more. And in the process, learn how the body works. So the breath is very important, just like in meditation. And by practicing breath and even pranayama, the body also gets warm, so that the postures will be held even more comfortably, and the circulation of the blood will be even better in the body. So the breath is very important, and the Ananda Marga book that I used to learn yoga mostly with everything else that is around. And as Maitreya mentioned many times, the full breath starts with the diaphragm in the belly. As the diaphragm pulls the lungs lower, the lungs fill up with water, and then in the lungs, as the lungs extend with and full with the air, then the chest starts to fill, and slowly as you breathe even deeper, then it goes all the way up to the shoulders, and then this gives the person a full breath. And on the exhale, the diaphragm pushes the lungs upwards, and then the air is pushed out from the lungs to the deepest. And as a person focuses on this breath, and as it gets deeper and deeper, it gets for the person even more comfortable to help the postures, and this gives the person as a tool to relax the mind, focus the mind, so that the body can even go more deeper into the postures. Another thing that is very important probably in practicing yoga is not to push oneself, because everyone has a different background and a different body type and different capacity. In fact, this is probably the hardest thing to learn for us, because we all, in overcoming the lower nature, of course, in overcoming the ego, wanted to do things maybe even too fast sometimes, not being patient and understanding. So yoga also can make a person face this, face themselves, and make the person patient and even be humble, as observing at the background, as just like in meditation, observing and letting the mind just relax and ease into the pose, so that comfortable spot can be found. And not pushing it, but at the same time, every time, maybe just finding a challenging point, so that the body even improves itself to a better or a higher limit than it was previously possible. So with this, respecting the body and easing the mind, and of course probably remembering you are not the doer, but he is. And then the yoga practice could become even better than what is thought in the world today. And with all this, yoga will become a great tool for the person, can become a great tool for the person. So this is how a person can practice yoga even better and help the postures and improve their physical health as well as their ability to focus the mind, and in the process at the same time learn the workings of the chakras and the hormonal levels, how they affect them. And by meditation and hopefully with God's grace, can overcome these propensities. And of course, as yoga is a great tool, the teachings of the Eternal Divine Path, the mission also gave us another tool that brings even probably a greater balance in our lives, and which is the reminder. And reminder is an also an exercise. In fact, the movements in reminder is also can be considered as yoga postures, asanas, and it also works on the glands. And even doing the reminder, it's even in higher degree, because it's also done in a higher ideation, and also there is the mental side and spiritual aspect of it is even greater, and the physical movements is also just like yoga postures that helps the person work the glands, and with all this helps a person in its spiritual endeavor. So again, we can see with all that the mission with the teachings, the mission is bringing even clarification on how we can purify our bodies with all these tools, and even the suggested practices, even to a better degree, even with yoga, which has been known by humanity for a long time. If it will be purified, it can serve to a better degree. And another thing that the inner sciences does is that it clears the body from mucus toxins. It pushes the mucus out of our bodies. And we know that mucus is the toxin in the body. And it forms because today, a large part of humanity eat foods that are toxic, and people don't fast, or they don't meditate, and they don't keep their bodies in good shape. So the toxins, a lot of toxins build up in the body, and this causes the person to fall into diseases. But when the person does the reminder or practices yoga, this helps them to push these toxins out of their systems. And also with these practices, people will help themselves not to add weight on them. And by not gaining weight, of course, many health problems will be eliminated, because obesity in this world today is one of the leading health problems. So, and inner sciences, as opposed to exercises, does this in a very different way, because when the person helps the postures, the heart rate again increases, but rather than pushing the body and spending a lot of energy to do this, the person just helps this posture and gets the same benefits, but rather than spending energy by deep breathing, usually even energy is gained. So that's another benefit of exercising, because the person feels refreshed rather than tired at the end of practicing such exercises. And in fact, exercising can help a person even exercise better, just like meditation helps yoga, and yoga and exercising can help person how to exercise, because once the person realizes how the body works, it could be pushed to even to more improvement with this understanding. So the physical exercise and this mental ability and of course the spiritual progress all are necessary, and with as the mission and Maitreya recommends, the middle path is the best one, and none of these should become the master of a person, but these practices should bring more realization of God and make the person even more stronger to withstand the energy, and at the same time, like the turbulent environment that the world is in, or the person that him or herself is going through, so that the person could become like or the body will become like even a better receiver, a better antenna, so that the higher energies can be received and become more in tune with God. So exercising in this ideation and in this matter, doing yoga practices is very helpful and will bring more benefit to the person. And also in yoga and also in reminder, with doing them as an exercise in this ideation, especially the reminder, the person is in fact struggling with the ego, because it is a struggle to bring the mind from the worldly energy to godly energy or spiritual energy, because we now live in mundanity, but we need to go to the spiritual world and take ourselves from Maya and go to the spiritual world, realize the spirit, and it starts there. And the reminder, it is, in fact, even of course, Maitreya reveals that word that, and all that, all the words helps this to realize this, that you first, the first step is going from mundanity to the spiritual aspect. So you train the mind also with this kind of practices by doing exercise. The first, even if before you start to practice, this struggle that the person goes in or her mind to decide and then commit him or herself to do the practice is even a workout or work in this matter, I guess. So as we can see, there are many benefits, and if done correctly from knowledge, it can be of great help, and with the whole package that the mission now revealed to humanity, with of course the study and the and understanding of the scriptures and all the other things, yes, just like a jihad that the person takes to the inner to the self and realizing the forces that are taking them away from realizing the pure consciousness. It's a great journey. And I think we are very, very, very lucky to have this and to have the teachings now that clarifying all this, because in researching for these lectures and in the past learning the practices, the world really is in confusion even in these matters too. Even in exercise, there are many, many things that if you just read what's out there or watch, everyone is saying different things. So if we use the light of the mission and the teachings and Maitreya, it just takes a person out of this confusion, and there's the sun is shining always above the clouds, and I think it's same as yoga and all the inner and the inner sizes. And as this is my first lecture and giving it here, of course I thought I was all ready, and it's gonna be an hour and a half smooth, and as you can see it's 40 minutes now and I'm done. I don't know what else to say now. Probably we can open it for a little bit of discussion, and if there are any questions and any discussions about yoga or the videos that were done for the feast and other things, I will be glad to answer as much as I can. Thanks, Sarji. I think if it's great, if you hear something great, it was from God, because I am right now probably a little bit of one. Not nervous, but excited. But thanks, God, yeah. Yeah, any questions?
Hello, Eunice. It's Keosha, and I apologize for coming in late. I had to work just a little bit during this feast. I wanted to know, I know it's going to be on tape, so I'll have the opportunity to hear it, mm-hmm. but I wanted to know if there is somewhere that I can go to read the lecture so that I can maybe get to it sooner than later, because I miss almost everything.
Well, probably Noor will be a better person to answer this, but probably it will take, if anyone will be transcribing this, it will might take a little while. Is that right?
The
text here, what about this text? This would not be available?
Yeah, Eunice, that's
one
really
that you see on my screen? Oh,
yes.
I see.
Yes.
Yeah, the one that I have is kind of like that many things that I found through the while I was researching for this lecture. So it's not so there are a lot of things from the teachings here. As you see, these are taken from like satsangs Maitreya has. And yeah, probably I will send a copy of this. In fact, I already sent this to the mission, so. But
is this the same one,
sure,
Eunice?
Because there are things here. There are some things here that I didn't really use, or I thought, and later on I found out that not right, or things like that. So I think it will be better for us just to have the, you know, what we talked about here, and.
Very good. Very good. I got you. I'll wait until I can hear it. Thanks, God.
The GoToMeeting is great that it doesn't need any editing or anything, Keosha. So if you're really interested, I can put this up on the FTP site today. yeah, and you can get it.
Sure, that would be fine as well.
I'll do that, and I'll send you an email where it is.
Oh, thanks, God. Great. Thanks, Mark.
Eunice, can you hear me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Can you do you know any relationship between yoga, Pilates, kung fu, and other disciplines like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know Pilates, and the person that started Pilates was Joseph Pilates. Mm-hmm. He was a German national, and he was practicing yoga. He was an athlete, a boxer, and he had asthma and many other diseases. So he was interested in these Eastern philosophies and these techniques. So he was practicing yoga. So and Pilates came into like being, you can say, probably when he was imprisoned in England in the World War I, in a hospital, in a military hospital, and there were people that were that couldn't like get out of bed, and so he just like helped them to exercise a little bit in their beds, like he put some strings over their heads and they help. He helped them pull them. You know, he kind of like simplified some movements for even the people that are bound to their beds. Mm-hmm. And from there on, when he moved to United States later on, when the Nazis were taking over Germany, he came and he opened the studio in New York, Manhattan, next to a dance studio. And all the dancers started coming to him for rehabilitating, like, some injuries. And he perfected his system mostly there and then teaching it to others. And it grew like that. He also, like, the Pilates started also, like the what potentially did for yoga, like a system or a discipline, like a wellness program almost. Like he was saying, you have to, it's not just exercise, but this is, you have to eat right, you have to have pure water, good sunshine, rest, and all that. Mm. And it became like a philosophy. And so there's definitely a relationship with Pilates and yoga. But Pilates take a little bit of different turn later on as it as a United States court make it like a generic exercise. There was a patent on it, but then they removed it and they said this is like just like yoga or any other sports. This is generic, and Pilates take off from there because many corporations took over then and started like to train instructors and making equipment to use, and this is a story for Pilates and mm-hmm. and about kung fu and other martial like arts. I don't know any direct relationship, but I read this when I was in the United States when I first met with yoga. I was interested in how it. I was just interested why the East has all these and the West did not. Mm-hmm. So I was researching that, and it's almost like a common knowledge that it all started. Everything just came from India, and when they took it to China and to Japan and other countries, they kind of mixed these knowledge with their own cultural things, like and Japanese and Chinese being probably more aggressive and having more enemies and more being maybe a little bit more active, and might have turned them into like or used this energy or realizations and the strength of their bodies to defend or attack even more efficiently to others. And, you know, so I believe there should be some relationship, but I haven't studied and too deep.
So yoga works with the chakras. What does Pilates do?
Pilates is mostly, I will say, is an exercise, mm-hmm. but a little softer than like what you would do in a gym with, you know, like weightlifting. It at least makes the person first, or brings the person to the realization that you should breathe right and focus the mind. But they teach it as they learn it, and they focus that energy and take it to push the body to higher levels, so that they probably force the muscles to grow. But the difference, of course, with regular exercising and Pilates is Pilates works very slowly in the beginning, and even in like higher levels, it works even more slowly with the inner muscles. Like when a person first starts coming to a class, Pilates class, they usually like complain that he doesn't or she doesn't feel anything, mm-hmm. because we do very slow like movements, and they usually complain, are you sure this is going to work? Because I feel no pain, because everyone is used to like no pain, no gain motto. And so Pilates is different than like this, and it makes the person more sensitive. So I use Pilates like as a, like what would you say, not a prerequisite, but somehow like a getting the people ready for yoga practices.
Warm up.
Kind of like, yeah, warm up, because then they become more sensitive and their minds ease, and they, as you say, they're more warm, and also their muscles are stronger, and if they have any like structural problems or pain or that, Pilates is a great like rehabilitation tool. And so with that, the like practicing or holding the postures in yoga becomes more comfortable. But yeah, in Pilates, after a Pilates class, you would not feel like after a yoga class. It doesn't work with the chakras as deep as yoga, but it probably works more than exercise. So it's kind of like an intermediate.
So it kind of works with your core muscles?
Core muscles, exactly.
Okay. And
and of course, they took it like as the corporations get into it, now there are many, like there are 3-4 equipment that they use in Pilates, which mostly use like the weight of the body. So rather than like lifting weights and, you know, going through all that agony, it is still a very more efficient way to even make the muscles stronger. And the person does not look like Arnold Schwarzenegger, like they don't pump the body, but still looks lean, and you know, the muscles are strong, but looks more modest. Mm-hmm.
I wonder if I could also ask a question at this point related very much to this. Is my Pilates teacher said that when you do Pilates and learning it before yoga, because then you can then hold some of your core muscles during yoga, she is suggesting that that was good. And I never actually heard of that before, because in yoga I was always just stretching. So I was wondering, Eunice, what's your take on that? Do you recommend holding tight some of the core muscles that you have developed during Pilates in your yoga routine, or what's your take?
Well, if you probably consciously holding like a muscle, in my experience, it hasn't. You haven't come to a level that your body is like one with that practice. Like, what I try to do in my when I work or do Pilates or teach Pilates, that starts slowly, but come to a level that you don't have to worry about like the body anymore. It's the muscles are just strong enough that you could move easily. That so that your mind is free. And in yoga, you go even deeper because you are just you're focusing on the breath, deep breath. The full breath, starting with the diaphragm, lowering with and from the belly, the chest, and the shoulders, and exhaling deeply, and realizing like how the body goes deeper, and in that state, I think if you are like too conscious or forcing yourself. That way, it might. You know, there's I think like a thin like line. If you are so like self-conscious, then you are not there. But if you are so relaxed and not, you know, pushing yourself even a little bit, then I think you will not improve.
Sounds like middle path.
So I
like,
think it's the middle path.
Yeah. My body, yeah, that makes total sense. That does.
Yeah, Pilates will help you a lot in yoga because, as we just talked about, like your core muscles will get more stronger, and you will probably learn in easier movements. You will learn how to move the body more efficiently and effectively and slowly, and it will help. I believe in your. It does in mine, in your yoga practice.
Thanks, God.
Yeah, thanks, God.
There's a question could be asked also about injury from yoga. And I know it's happened to me a couple times throughout my life, and it does take a long time for that injury to go away. You know, if you, they say you shouldn't stretch too much, but sometimes you just do or something happens. And what do you recommend to kind of alleviate that injury? And the second part of the question is, should you keep doing yoga but only do the one side that's not injured, you know, or is it better just not to do yoga at all until the injury is healed?
That's where I find Pilates most helpful. Because like if you watch that video that we recorded with Nihon, if you do the movements in that a little more, maybe slower than how I did, it can help you to feel that inner muscles like getting stronger. In fact, you don't feel it, but as you do it, you just realize it just does. So you don't have to like have pain to get the muscles stronger. They just have to move. Or work, and as they move like slowly, you feel how they are interconnected, and I think, or how you keep the like the spinal column, and the vertebrae correctly. That's how Pilates help. And if you injure or have pain during like yoga, you can become sensitive enough to realize it. Like the moment, just like in yoga videos, we said, I put like, if you have pain, if you feel it, just lay down and breathe and let the body heal itself. If you just let yourself go to that calm, silent spot, it helps you a lot. And then if it's still there, you could start by moving really slowly in some of the most basic Pilates classes, or movements like, or not even Pilates, just like physical therapy, couple physical therapy movements that will help your the injured part move slowly. And what we find out in teaching to other people is that many people that come to have some sort of injury, back pain, like neck pain, or and many different things. But if they do the movement to the extent that they can do without pain, they find out that in a couple of weeks or in a month or so, they can do even better. Like if they can lift their arms to their shoulder level, in a week or so, in 2 weeks, they can take it all the way up. And they say, well, I have had this pain for the past 10 years, and now it's gone. So this kind of physical therapy helps how should the body work, move properly. And then in yoga, I think that, what would you say, sensitiveness. If you bring that sensitiveness in movement, you will minimize the risk of getting injured. And even if you do, you will realize it sooner, and you can rehabilitate the self, your body, sooner also. So what I could recommend is take a couple movements that you're very comfortable with, basic Pilates movements with the hands or the legs, and if you have any injuries like that, or if you do, of course, if you're asking this for yourself, Sarah G, you could tell me what, and I could recommend you some movements, or even send you some instructions, or you could find them on the online, and you could practice that, and that will help you a lot.
The way yoga means to hold comfortably. So if you're holding uncomfortably, it means you have gone too far. So also in yoga, you rest after each posture. Do you do that in Pilates too?
Mm-hmm. Not really. It depends on the class, but in my classes, I usually have the people rest, but usually people that come to class, they don't want to rest. They want to work.
Even in yoga?
Yeah. Even in yoga, they do, but I don't compromise. I say, well, this is this is what it is. You have to. And in fact, in the video, I was going to put corpse pose after every pose, asana, but then it will be 5 gigabytes each video, so I didn't do that. So, but yeah, in Pilates, it's kind of what do you call that? How the dancers do their choreography, their movements. Is that the word?
Choreography, yeah.
You go from one movement. You go from one movement to another, a little bit more smoother. And usually, people like that, and people usually don't understand how an hour goes by in the classes. And in yoga, it's even they feel even better. Usually, the people that come to the centers, they usually come if they are coming for Pilates classes, they come 2-3 times a week for Pilates and 1 or 2 times for yoga, or vice versa. If they come for 3 times yoga, they usually, or I recommend they come for at least 1 or 2 for Pilates. But after a while, I believe if your body comes to a level that you can realize the breath I think Pilates will lose its importance, and the yoga postures will do it. Even if you can just hold the posture comfortably and just breathing, I sometimes feel all the muscles are working anyways. And my brother is now like visiting us he came from the United States. Mm-hmm. And I have not lifted weights the past 6-7 years. And he was surprised that my body is still fit. Because of these practices. Or I have not worked out like as they usually do in the United States, go to the gym and do all those things.
Actually, if you do yoga, you really don't need that at all.
Especially if you eat well. That's what we're discovering. That a lot of Americans, they have to do all those exercises because they eat badly. So it's like making up for something that they could fix the problem at the root.
That's right.
Or if you do yoga in the garden.
That is yoga, gardening, sitting down, standing up, shoveling.
It's asana, sadhana, and gardana.
Gardana at the same time.
I think it's interesting that...
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Yunus.
No, go ahead.
I think it's interesting that sadhana means struggle, but it's sitting still and not moving. But asana means position held comfortably, and it's a lot of more movement and stuff. It's like opposite of what most people would expect, and goes along with what Yunus was saying about how corpse pose is the most difficult.
Yeah, Pilates means a person named Pilates, you call
Definitely the most descriptive.
Descriptive, yeah.
But he had a good first name, Joseph.
Yeah, that his name is Joseph, yeah. Maybe it was me, huh?
You're the God. Wow.
I don't know. I take credit for everybody.
Thanks.
I was also. You go ahead, Eunice, please.
No, go ahead.
Just real quick, I was gonna say that what Maitreya was asking before about whether martial arts are related to yoga. When I was doing research for what video we should watch on Saturday night, I was looking up Kung Fu, and I did come across an article that said that actually a lot of Kung Fu practices did originate from yoga. So it was just one article, but I don't know, I did come across it.
Actually, even in Indian philosophy, the whole yoga evolved by watching animals, and they followed the movement of the animal, and in Kung Fu, it's talking about becoming like learning practices of tigers and bears and fish and things like that. So, there is a connection, but I think Kung Fu and other movement that Chinese do, it works mostly with the spirit than chakras. Of course, chakras and the spirit are connected, but they mostly feel the energy instead of working their chakra as the yoga does. And Pilates, of course, is more exercise than inner sides. So that is, I think, if you can have a vision, there is a difference, a subtle difference between all of them, but they are interrelated at the same time.
And the question could be asked, where did the martial arts come from? Maybe they came from all this wonderful stuff and then ended up into, defense.
There was a person by the name Marshall. He was very artful.
That's funny.
Thanks, buddy.
And Eunice, thank you for the explanation about an injury. I was just asking in general, because that's happened in the past for me. So thank you.
Where did you learn the yoga and all these? It was just classes, or there was a special group?
Just classes. Mm. When I was attending college, first of all, when I first went to the United States, I was amazed how they just exercise in the campus. Everyone is running, mm-hmm. and like people going to the gym, and the gym is like humongous big, and
everything is humongous here.
And
supermarket. Yeah.
I was just working with weights or running, and I just love swimming and usually go to the pool and swim. I love water. But then in college, when I transferred to San Diego State, to the four-year college, I was once walking in front of like a group class, and the instructor was in this posture that his body was on top of his head, but his legs were down first, and he just gradually moved his legs on top of his head, and he was just resting the whole body on his head and his elbows.
Mm.
I was amazed to see that, because not that he could just stand there like that, but how he brought his legs up.
Mm.
It was a different kind of movement. And I look at the class; it was like full 50 people, and they were all like female girls. Mm. I thought, what class is this? And they told me it's yoga. And I wondered what yoga is. And I went to the library and just look it up and went to the bookstore. And then later on, I just started going in that class. Of course, it was very agonizing, because I was usually the only male in there. And I was like sweating too much and couldn't do the postures. Then I bought some books, read them, and just started practicing by myself on the beach, which was more comfortable for me, because I was more relaxed there. So I just learned it there and just practice. And of course, then I started working in different places and gave some classes, and after coming back to Turkey, it just helped me with giving classes and everything, studying more.
Great, good. And did you learn Pilates here too, or after you went back to Turkey?
Pilates is the same thing. Then, probably a couple years after that, I met with yoga or started doing yoga. That time I was living in an apartment complex which had like a big area, big gym, and another area that for group exercises. And I just looked up what was offered there, and I saw this class with Pilates. I've never heard it before, and go into that, and I thought it was mostly like working the abs, and then I started reading about that and asking questions, and I was mostly like a tourist, annoying tourist, asking questions all the time.
Then did you have time to study?
Yeah, I studied in between those questions.
That's great. All right. I'm trying to stretch your time to 3:30.
I know, I realize. But yeah, I think God had a plan. I'm not sure, but yeah, He just guided me from thing to another.
I don't think anybody comes to the mission hasn't been guided. All of them have been guided. They have been born to be here.
Yeah, no doubt on that.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating about the reminder, how nice a warm-up exercise that is. And you're doing yoga, and each time you do the reminder, you can stretch even a little bit more. It's really beautiful.
Yes, please.
Yeah. And, of course, I think reminder is even, like, a lot, what would you say, deeper or more. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Like a whole package, I believe.
Right.
When you do the reminder, just like Matthias says, like, it brings you a different, like, energy and cleaning the spirit. But yoga, yeah, yoga is very nice too. I think this will be a great. Go ahead, Kyosha.
Thank you. Thank God. I was just wondering about doing the kirtan. Of course, it's not like yoga exactly, but I wonder because you're dancing and chanting at the same time, and maybe Maitreya would, I don't know who would be best to answer this, but I was just wondering, is that tie into a form of intercise, or just because it's so repetitive and not intense movement, maybe that's not the case, but I'm just curious.
It is Pilates.
You hold your stomach muscles tight, I guess that's true. Okay.
Actually, kirtan is an inner massage. When you put your feet down, and when you hit the ground, you're actually massaging your body, you know, doing kirtan. Of course, also when you bring your hands up, you know, it changes the energy. And when you're doing it together, there is a movement of energy in the group that brring unity to everyone. And so it has a lot of benefits.
Very good. Thanks, God.
There's a question also about Baba taught that after you did your yoga, that you would do a self massage. I wondered if there's any comments about that.
Yeah, when Kyosha Omen Maitreya said that, I just remembered that. After yoga, some yoga classes, I usually go like that movements and, that are recommended in that book. And people like it very much, and I think it helps.
Mm-hmm.
And just like in the book also it mentions that when you do yoga properly, the sweat, you know, you sweat a little bit, not too much, and then you, by massaging yourself, you kind of like distribute that to your body, which nourishes the body. And that's why, in fact, in that book, it recommends to do it inside rather than outside, practicing yoga in a closed room, but have a window or door open so that you can have fresh air, so that you can also have that, you know, sweat, so that you can massage at the end.
You shouldn't be doing it in a drafty place. You catch cold.
Yeah.
You catch cold bad, actually.
And also, I think you recommended not take a shower after yoga.
Half an hour, yeah.
Half an hour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also, when you're massaging it, when you yoga, there's a lot of oil will be on your body that you can massage it and spread it evenly through your body. And also, there are, when you're massaging your some of your glands, like at the top of your, at the below your eyebrows and in your neck, places like that, or under your armpit and under the body. So you're actually balancing those two if you're doing that. Who is that? Okay.
So if everybody follows us, the massage therapist will be out of business?
They should be out of business.
They shouldn't be in business in the first place.
Yeah.
This is interesting. On Wikipedia, I was looking up the origin of martial arts, and it actually says that a lot of martial arts or kung fu forms have like positions for their forms that are identical to mudras from Hinduism and Buddhism.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting.
That's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. If they move their neck a little, you know, harder, it becomes Indian dance, actually.
Yeah, in some ways, yeah.
So I found out that in the book, the Anandamarga book, the postures and like the way it's given, it's presented, even that is serving your purpose, like in purifying these practices back again, and with the mission, and with probably everything that will be, it will be even and probably greater. Because if you go out and look at like in a bookstore and go and get a book like a yoga book, it's so different than how it's presented even in Anandamarga book.
That's a fantastic book. That you go. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh no, yeah. Like people usually like ask me like, what kind of yoga you give or what kind of classes you have, and because you know there are thousands of other names now.
Yeah.
Inner yoga, this yoga, that yoga.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell them, like, yeah, this is the essence yoga. They say, oh, I never heard it before. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess we have the essence of everything, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we should call it the mission of essence.
Yeah. And then we'll get all the essence to come.
The same, essentials. Okay, I'm out of question.
Yeah. So maybe I should ask questions.
Sure. For me, I see. Sure, go ahead. What's your question?
No, like just testing the audience if they listened or not.
I have questions still, if I could.
Go ahead.
Yeah, please.
Thanks, Tom. I was wondering, I looked at the Pilates video of Unisys so far. I didn't look at the yoga one. I did my own yoga that I knew and that I was used to doing. So I'm wondering, in a lot of yoga classes, they do relaxation at the end. The part that I really enjoy, some teachers do different legs, but it's usually where you lay down for as much as 10 minutes and relax your body completely. It reminds me a lot of the meditation process, except for lying down. In a way. So what is the recommendation for either Eunice or Maitreya? Is that a good way to end your yoga for, you know, the time that you've done 45 minutes or an hour of yoga, whatever?
Go ahead, Eunice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in fact, if you watch the videos, yoga videos, and at the end it The last asana is corpse pose, where you just lay down and keep the body still and you know, follow the breath and then just observe. In fact, we were just talking about this earlier. In classes, I usually have people do the corpse pose after every asana, not as long as at the end, but at least just observe how the body is, or listen to the heart, at least feel the heartbeat, and I think that helps a lot to, you know, bring awareness to you. So, but in the video, I didn't put like, I didn't add 2-3 minutes of rest after each asana, because then it will make the video in larger in size, and it would have been harder to transfer it to the, you know, to mission. So yeah, that definitely is recommended, because the purpose of, you know, practicing yoga is to realize, you know, your, and as much as working your body and in getting an inner size and inner massage, bring that awareness. So, yeah.
Actually, that is one of the most important part of yoga, the corpus.
Yeah, it's kind of like balancing yourself. You move and work a little bit, stay active, and then you kind of observe and passive. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I know it also says in the Anandamarga Yoga book that the amount of corpse pose you do will affect how your yoga practice affects you. Like, if you're planning to do, like, if, for example, your morning yoga practice, or if you're planning to do vigorous activity afterwards, it's probably better to do less corpse pose, because that way you'll stay energized. To still do some, but less. But then if you're planning and using yoga as relaxation, or you're going to have a more meditative day, then you could use more.
Actually, also it is recommended to put over yourself something wool, made of wool, that you don't catch cold. Again, you can catch cold easily when you go to corpus, because you might actually fall asleep or go unconscious and don't realize how cold you are. So it's good to cover yourself when you do that pose, especially if you have something made by wool. Go ahead.
That makes so much sense, because I remember one yoga teacher that I worked with when I was out here, and she almost always had us cover ourselves with one of those like Indian-style blankets that they make in New Mexico, and it was so comfortable when we did the relaxation covered up like that. That's a very good point. Thanks, Scott.
I think, Mike, you were going to say something.
No, I don't. Go ahead.
No? Okay. Another thing, when Kyosha asked like this question, I remember, I'm not sure, but if anyone knows here, people usually take yoga here in this part of the world like a religion. They don't see it as like a practice or like an inner science, but as a you know, religion, or you worship the sun or something like that. But I've never, I didn't met with this kind of like reaction in the West, or was it my experience?
No, I think was that your question, Yunus? Yeah, I think in the West it's actually the opposite. It's like in India it's viewed as a practice, or like you said, like a discipline. And then where you are, it's viewed as a religion, and here it's viewed as exercise, I would say. Or maybe they'll you know, talk a little bit about like, oh, it'll make you think clearer, or it'll bring you in contact with you know, they use all these words. They don't want to say God, so they, you know, the New Ager words, like the lovely essence energy being thing. But it's mostly, That's what I think the main problem is with yoga in the West, actually. That's the problem I had with any yoga I tried to do outside of the mission, is that there are a lot of, like, good teachers of the basic asanas. Like, they can show you how to get into an asana and get out of it. But there is no understanding of the ideation behind it, and there's no mention of God. You know what I mean? And without that, it's really not useful, honestly.
Well, the ideation is I can relax myself, I will be a better worker, so I can make more money.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. So exactly. That's why we have to change America first to spirituality and deeper understanding of spirit before we can teach them yoga in a deeper level.
I mean, the same thing is true for martial arts. I mean, to some extent also in the East, there's a lot of just like martial arts movies that are just about the cool looking moves. But originally, it's a very deep internal practice, you know what I mean? And then you take it to the West and it becomes just Jackie Chan doing a lot of kicks and punches. And it's entertaining, sure, but it loses its inner meaning. So.
Yeah. In fact, yeah, as I asked you, I remember I couldn't stay in a yoga class for too long, but because the energy just didn't make me feel right. But I usually practice on my own. Because that's it's mostly like an exercise, or it's mostly like a show off, like how much flexible we are, or how can you sit, or
the whole thing just doesn't really work related to the mission. That's the reason that it was so nice that you could make the videos for us, Eunice, because we spent a lot of time there is no other yoga videos or teachers really that do it correctly, especially in the West, or their clothing is not appropriate, or it's this and that. It's just that it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Again, we have to remake everything. So yeah.
Yeah. Yes. That's why I think. Probably God made me learn all this.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Helping that. Yeah. Yeah, it's the teachings, and in the light of the teachings and the mission, I think there are a lot of things that can be done and spiritualize.
Mm-hmm.
Just as yoga, just like martial arts, and everything else, bring them make them as an extension of spirituality. Have a spiritual life, and you could do them. And the main problem with people practicing these kind of things in the lower nature, usually, I think people like to act like as if, and make it look like difficult, just like intellectuals make it look like too complicated. The theory has to be too complicated, so it should be a better theory. But in fact, simpler is better. And just like the yoga, people usually think that you have to twist your arm three times around you that you are a good teacher or something. But you don't really have to, and it's just the basic postures.
We're going to change them, don't worry. It's West is kind of an anomaly at this time, compared with the, in a spiritual sense, and they haven't been really chosen to be that deep as the East is, and East was too deep in the spirituality and not much on the worldly, and they're coming to a balance more and more. And West is going to change, East is going to change and become a more balanced earth, and mission is going to appeal to them even in a greater degree. But not now.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
God said it will, so it will.
Sure it will.
So, yes. All thanks to God.
All thanks to God, yep. Okay, Eunice.
I think we're,
go ahead.
Yeah, I think we're at the end of our time, so if right. No further questions, I think thanks God for all the help. And it was our lecture, I guess, more than Eunice's lecture.
No, it was a good lecture. And,
thanks, God.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks, God.
All great thanks question. To God.
All thanks to God. Salam, everyone.
Salam.
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 Salam, everyone.
Salam.
Salam. See you in a
Salam.
Hour and a half Salam. Or so. Thanks, God.